There's some Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov music from Sadko, the famous Song of India, on Bill's Classical Jukebox. We're here to play your at-work favorites. And from time to time, we welcome very special guests. Very, very special today. Richard Romer was a Canadian Air Force pilot. He flew 135 reconnaissance missions in World War II, was part of the D-Day operations. He rose to the rank of Major General. Also, he is an honorary Lieutenant General in the Canadian Armed Forces. His decorations include the Order of Canada and the Order of Ontario, and he is to this day a lawyer, prolific author, and historian who lives here in the southern Georgian Bay Area, and he is a great friend of this radio station. It's so nice to see you again. Welcome.
Nice to be here with you. Absolutely.
I'm going to ask you to move in just a little closer to that microphone.
Certainly.
It was during the transmitter launch broadcast across the road from our location now, when we launched 102.9 FM to this area, when we spoke. We have our own studio now that we're sitting in, and I'm having the great pleasure of learning about the terrific lifestyle around this part of the world. Now, what was it that attracted you to Southern Georgian Bay before, and what keeps you here?
Well, astonishingly enough, it was skiing. I've now graduated from skiing because of my seniority, but the reality was, when I was much younger, we belonged to Craigley Skiing as a family, and we purchased a farm up near Creemore. I had an airstrip on it because I was still flying in those days, Air Force-wise, and one day we decided we would we'd buy a house in Collingwood, a small house, so that in the middle of winter, we wouldn't get snowed in where we were at Creemore. We bought a place of 7,000 square feet called Dundurn Hall at 3rd and Oak and moved up here. And I continued my law practice in Toronto while I was skiing and doing the thing here in Collingwood. But we fundamentally moved here because there was so much going on, and I was able to commute and do things like that. So it was skiing that brought us here.
Now, what's kept you here? Is it because they built better roads so that you could continue to commute? Because they're better now than they were then.
No, it's hard to answer that question. The reality is that we had good living accommodation. There's a lot going on. I'm an honorary of many things, both in Toronto here as well. And so the mix of it allowed us to stay and to continue the practice of law. So that's the way it is even now.
And it is an incredibly vibrant cultural community that has developed in Southern Georgian Bay. One of the great resources is the 20,000-square-foot Collingwood Library. And I just learned recently that there are 30 of your books there, many of them about one of your favorite topics, and that's the Arctic. Tell us about this fascination with Canada's north.
Well, it began fundamentally in the late 1970s. I came up with an idea of we should have a plan for Canada for its development, and I called it the Mid-Canada Development Corridor, the Boreal Forest. And I put together a conference of 150 people that lasted for a couple of years, looking at the Boreal Forest, Mid-Canada, and the High Arctic. And we toured the Arctic, this kind of thing, and produced a great report. But in the result, I spent a lot of time in the Arctic, particularly in Inuvik and the Tuktoyaktuk areas. Got a radio station organized for Tuktoyaktuk, this kind of thing. So my involvement at that point wasn't military, but subsequently I became Chief Reserves in Canada, still flying as a mean, tough fighter pilot, and so I mixed the military in with the literary and began to write books that combined fundamentally the military and the Arctic. The Arctic is a great place for us, and we're missing a lot of the opportunities of really grabbing hold of it. The Russians are looking at the Northwest Passage. The Chinese are looking at it in terms of using it to get through to the Atlantic. And it's a very vulnerable area, and we're not paying attention to it enough at all. So I'm still interested in the Arctic.
Obviously. One of your most popular books, Ultimatum, was about the Arctic and the United States demanding the oil and gas, or else.
Or else, absolutely. This was my first novel. Well, yes, it was. my first novel back in 73. And it really took off and was quite popular. I was going to say very popular. So it launched me into the business of writing novels. And so I've continued over the years to write novels, and they're geopolitical novels, they're novels about Canada. In fact, I did the only fictional treatment of the of John A. Macdonald creating a confederation, that kind of thing. So I've got in the library here in Collingwood, there are some close to 30 of my books. Nobody knows they're there.
Well, they do now.
They do now, which is the reason that you're seeing me, and I'm really pleased to be with you again, Bill.
Well, you've written another book. As you know, we're not only heard in Collingwood and Southern Georgian Bay, but throughout Eastern Ontario through our Cobourg transmitter and in the GTA through our Toronto studios and transmitter. The CN Tower is an important thing for Torontonians, but also people all over the province. And it was your involvement as a lawyer that led you to write that inside story about its building.
Yes. In 1972, I acted for Canadian National, Canadian Pacific, in the rezoning, in effect, change of the official plan of all the land around Union Station from Yonge Street to Bathurst. And we were successful. We had a big battle for 6 weeks before the Interior Municipal Board, which was my major practice before the OMB. And acting for CNNCP, I was successful in getting the OMB to change the land use from railway to all the things that are there now.
Including the big baseball stadium?
Including the baseball stadium. The planner of the day for the City of Toronto said the baseball stadium wouldn't work there because it was too crowded. He was wrong, of course. He's long gone. But the thing that really got us going was a building called the CN Tower. And I got permission from the OMB to build the CN Tower and watched it go up, and it's been a magic place. And, of course, all the buildings that are now on the land for the 185 acres, just billions and billions of dollars worth of, so it's a little contribution.
And around the world, when people think of Toronto, they
Absolutely.
Think of that photo
that's right.
The CN Tower. You've written other books about the Canadian industrialist E.P. Taylor, military books about George Patton, who you met. There's a great story about Erwin Rommel, the German general famous for his Africa Corps. Tell us that.
Very simple. I was a fighter reconnaissance pilot, which meant that I was flying a Mustang fighter low level all the time at anywhere between 50 feet and 5,000 feet and being shot at all the time because we were down low. And our job was to do visual reconnaissance to see what was on the ground. Or it was also to do the direction of artillery fire and to do photographic reconnaissance. On the 17th of July, 44, I'm leading a section of four Mustangs in a particular area southeast of Calm, and I came upon a staff car with the top down going barreling southward. I didn't know who was in it, but I knew it was brass. It had to be two men in the front seat, three in the back. I didn't know who it was, but I was not permitted to shoot him up. I was armed. But the commander of the Air Force at that point had said that the reconnaissance pilots were so valuable they could no longer shoot up a target of opportunity. That was a target of opportunity. I couldn't shoot him up. I got on the radio, called Group Control Center, and they sent in a Spitfire. And we don't know yet who the Spitfire was, but the Spitfire came in about 5 minutes after I spotted him, gave the place, shot up the staff car. And as it turned out, the man in the staff car in the front right seat was Field Marshal Erwin Rommel. So I had a chance, and he was out of the war from that point. Simple.
Great story. Richard Romer, my special guest. Now, you said you flew low. You were being shot at all the time. Obviously, you displayed great courage in those war years. Now that you're in your 90s, and I don't think anybody doesn't know that, what kind of courage does it take for you to continue being a role model for Zoomers?
First of all, it is the courage to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 94, and I'm still flying, and I'm still practicing law. And it's a question of keeping busy, keeping your brain going and your objectives fairly clear. And on top of that, I have a fantastic wife. My Mary O has been with me for 68 years, and she winds my watch from time to time and keeps me straight. She has a full-time job.
The best way to keep going is keep going.
Keep going, exactly right.
Wonderful philosophy, and you are. There's another book coming.
That's right.
Tell us about it.
It's very simple. It's a book which is fiction this time. My books in the library here are fiction and nonfiction. This is a book story about the Russians claiming part of the Canadian Arctic Islands because of a search that was done in the 1700s before the British got there by a Russian. So they claim the Arctic Islands, a lot of them, and they begin to occupy. And, of course, there's a great time for confrontation between Canada and the Russians, and the Americans got involved. So that's what the story's about. And it's an area that I am deeply... I am the Honorary Lieutenant General of the Canadian Forces, and I serve in that capacity. But just served the day before yesterday in the change of command at Camp Borden. But I am deeply concerned that we are not paying enough attention to the Great Northwest Passage. The Russians have said they're going to use it. The Chinese have said they're going to use it. We are ignoring it, and I'm trying to get the armed forces to think about it.
When the book is published, I want a copy.
You'll get one.
Thank you very much. Major General Richard Romer. We could talk all day, but we can't.
Lieutenant General.
Lieutenant General.
I've got to get you right on this. You're right.
You're both. You're Major General retired, and you're Honorary Lieutenant General.
The Honorary. The Honorary. There's only one. I'm it.
I stand corrected, sir.
I correct you anytime.
All right. Richard Romer, a pleasure, as always, to chat. And you check out his books. They're at the Collingwood Public Library, and they have a website, www.collingwoodpubliclibrary.ca. Thanks again.
Thank you, Bill.